Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
I don't know what's going on in your neighborhood these days, but in my neighborhood in Bow Meadows, there are on some of the light posts in our hood a bunch of handmade signs with crayon rainbows on them with a very simple message. And the message is this: it's gonna be okay. I've heard, as I've read the news, that there are actually similar signs all over the world, and certainly in Italy in some of the hardest hit towns. And I like what our neighborhood kids are saying. I think what they're saying with those little messages is, let's not panic, slow down, take it one day at a time, and take a deep breath, because most of us are going to see this season through. And so, if you are that kid in my neighborhood who made that sign, I'm just giving you two thumbs up, way to go, thanks for the encouragement. But to a lot of us, there's something else we need to think about. For some of us, in the next few weeks and months, the truth is, it might not be okay. I know that most of us watching, and most of you, wherever you are in your homes today, you are facing some pretty serious financial pressures that may have lasting effects on you for years to come. I know that many of you listening today, you've been laid off. I know that some of you who are small business owners, you've had to lay people off or even close your businesses. All of us are wondering about our debts. And the government relief that has been announced over the past couple days, I'm super grateful for the will of our political leaders to help us in these times. But the deal is, some of us are gonna get sick. And if we're completely honest with each other, it's possible that some of us may even die in these days. And even if that isn't in these days, there will be a day for all of us. And that's not me hitting the panic button. That's not me fear-mongering. That is simply the stark, cold reality of being a mortal human being. And I think rainbow posters have their place. And if you're a kid this morning, keep those posters coming. But at some point, we are all going to have to face our bank statements. And if you are a doctor or a frontline emergency worker right now, wishing on a star that you're going to be okay is not going to cut it. And by the way, if you are one of those frontline medical workers, we are cheering you on this morning. Thank you for serving us on the front lines. And I just want to ask Cochrane Alliance family that we are in prayer for those who are serving in our hospitals, in our clinics, in our ambulances, in the rescue vehicles. We need to be praying for and cheering on those families as they face probably stressors they never imagined they would face. Is it going to be okay? How can we be sure it's going to be okay? Friends, I need to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And the hope of Christian people, for boys and girls, for men and women who have put their faith in Jesus, our conviction is that we will be okay precisely because Jesus has experienced death and come out the other side alive. And because he offers us that same death-defeating, resurrected kind of life, it is going to be okay. This is how the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those who have already died and are buried, we don't want you to be in the dark any longer. First, you must not carry on like other people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who have died in Jesus. The message of that verse is this: If you've staked your hope and your life on Jesus, it's going to be okay. Even if your business is rocked by this thing, even if you get sick, even if you die, because our God has conquered the grave, even death does not get the last word on us. It only gets the second to last word. Because Jesus lives, we don't give in to panic and worry. We're going to experience joy in the little things. We're not going to turn in on ourselves through self-protection and hoarding. Now, maybe before I continue, we need to take a time out. I know that some of you watching are with me, but some of you can't go any further because a claim that somebody has risen too far, that someone has risen from the dead, well, that is a bridge too far. That people can follow in Jesus' resurrection footsteps is also a pretty grandiose thing for someone like me to say. Some of you cannot share my hope and my optimism because you need some proof on this whole Jesus rose from the dead thing. And I just want to say to you, that's fine. It's fine if you feel that way, but I want to invite you, particularly as we enter into the season of Easter, I invite you to have a closer look at the resurrection. How? How is a person supposed to investigate such a massive claim? Well, I think that you do it the same way you would investigate any other historical event. You would ask yourself, well, what evidence is there of this thing? How did that evidence come to me? Who are the witnesses? Are the witnesses credible? Christian history is subject to the same kind of investigation and critique as any other less dramatic historical claim. And if the evidence is weak, if the claim of Jesus dying and rising again is on shaky ground, then our whole religion is at risk. We, as Christians, we even admit that. Even the writers of the Bible admit that. The Apostle Paul said, and this is from the Message translation, he said, "Face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors. And everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors." The resurrection of Jesus is ground zero for our hope as Christians. A word to those of you who are skeptical. I know that to many of us, the knee-jerk response to the resurrection is skepticism. Here's what one of my most favorite modern philosophers, Dallas Willard, wrote about skepticism. He said, "We live in a culture that has, for centuries now, cultivated the idea that the skeptical person is always smarter than the one who believes. You can almost be as stupid as a cabbage as long as you doubt." I just want to say to all of us this morning, you don't get to take the intellectual high ground just because you are skeptical. I agree. No one can reproduce a resurrection somehow. You can't go back in time to verify that Jesus actually came out of the tomb. But the thing is, no historical event can be reproduced. Other than to read about it and to trust historians who wrote about it, I have no way of proving to you that Napoleon was defeated at Waterloo. But there's good evidence to suggest that it did actually happen. This is true of many of the great events of human history that you believe happened, even though you cannot verify them beyond any doubt. And so, let me just say again, since so much rides for Christians, for us, on the resurrection, I invite you to ditch the idea that only stupid people have faith and begin to investigate the claim of a literal resurrection. Read. Do some research. Ask credible people who believe what evidence they've got ask people who believe for the evidence that they've got for basing their belief upon. And if you want help, reach out to me by phone or email or whatever. I'd be delighted to pass on whatever resources I can. And just a note to those of you who are in the internet generation like me, watching a couple YouTube videos will probably not be sufficient. So to unpause or to untake our time out, here's the main point of what I've been saying thus far. If you know Jesus, it's going to be okay. Not because of the triumph of the human spirit, although I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing in my friends and neighbors these days. It's going to be okay not because of government intervention, although I am super grateful for that. It's not because of social distancing measures, although let's lean into social distancing willingly and humbly. We're not going to be okay because of technology, although I am praying for a vaccine. It's going to be okay because Jesus has neutralized the power of death. Even if it's not going to be okay in the short run, it will be okay in the long run. And if that's true, well, then there is really nothing left to fear. So, if we're going to be okay, how do we live in the time of the novel coronavirus? That's a great question. Actually, that is a question that I encourage you to think about and to use your biblical imagination to come up with some of your own answers. If it's true that Jesus has risen from the dead and we're going to be okay, what are the implications for that? How do we live in these times? But let me just help us consider one implication for today. I'm going to read two of Jesus' teachings from the book of Luke that are essentially two different riffs on the very same theme. Let me read them and see if you can pick that theme out. Here's the first one from Luke chapter 12. Jesus speaking to his disciples and to us. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no coronavirus destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Here's the second verse. Again, this is Jesus now in Luke 16. "I tell you," he says, "use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Let me repeat that one more time. "Use worldly wealth so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings." Let me try to catch what Jesus is pitching us here. Number one, and maybe most important, given our focus on the resurrection today, the reason, the season we are living in, the period of our existence where our bodies are susceptible to viruses and sicknesses, this time is short and temporary. There is more to come. Jesus refers to that more permanent existence here using loaded theological terms like heaven or eternal dwellings or the kingdom. But the idea is actually really simple. Life in this current age is a shadow of the things to come. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we are promised new bodies, heaven, a renewed earth, unlimited time with God and his people. All of those things are ahead of us. All of that is guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, number two, because there is more to come for us in the future, We can live with open hands today. If all we've got is 60 or 70 or 80 years to live, and that's it, then logically speaking, it makes most sense to self-preserve, hold on to what I have, prioritize my needs above the needs of anybody else, have fun while I still can. But if you know that there's more to come, then you are freed up to live more generously and live more liberally today. I am liberated with that knowledge to share with my neighbors. Because, hey, I know that whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. In God's kingdom, which is my inheritance, there is no such thing as scarcity. There is more than enough to go around. And because I've got a big inheritance coming, because Jesus guarantees a bright and abundant future, I might as well spend freely on others today. In fact, I think when I reflect on those passages, it's even better than that. Jesus seems to say that using my resources to bless others, to help those who need it, to make friends, as he says, all of that is literally an investment in the future. It's like making bonus payments on my RRSP with compounding interest and a guaranteed return with no threat of any stock market volatility. I bring more glory to God. I make heaven an even more glorious place. I create an even better future for me and others in eternity by being more generous and more creative and more spontaneous with my stuff now. Maybe I'm getting too philosophical, so let's think about this in a different way. This past week, a couple of my staff began a process, actually on your behalf, and this process is called asset mapping. What they did is they walked through the church and took a literal inventory of all the physical assets that we have as a church. Everything from rooms and tables and fridges, sound equipment, chairs, change tables, whatever we've got. They did a walkthrough and put that all together on a big spreadsheet so that we can see everything that has been placed in our hands as a church community. And it's not only us that's doing that right now. A bunch of other churches in town have done or are doing the exact same thing. The plan is that we are putting together a list of all our physical assets or resources. We're putting that all together in one place. So we have all of it at our fingertips in the case of an emergency, which is, to be honest, that's right now. And then once we have that, we will go to the town and say, hey, here's what we've got as the Church of Cochrane. These buildings, this equipment, these resources, they're not just for us. They exist also for the good of the community. They are here. What we have is here to be used. These things were built or purchased for the glory of God and for the good of people. So if we need to set up an ICU or a soup kitchen, or we just need a place to store stuff, let us know. What we have, we'd like to say, is at your disposal. And actually, that is just the first part of the asset mapping process. The next part is to give an account of all the skills and expertise and know-how of our people. That's you. And I know we've got engineers and disaster specialists and teachers and nurses and carpenters and musicians and just like our stuff is here for the good of Cochrane, we believe our people are also here to serve our neighborhoods. We've got all kinds of assets, and they're meant to be spent now. Not hoarded for the future or sometime later or just for us. As followers of Jesus, we know that we're going to be okay, so let's spend what we have. I'm wondering if the time has come for all of us as individuals, couples, families. I wonder if the time has come for all of us to do a little asset mapping of our own. And what if today, like for real, several hundred of us were to spend some prayerful, reflective time having a close look at what we have? What has God put in our hands? And then as we looked at that, what if we asked God what He wants us to do with those assets? Further, what would happen if all of us wisely, systematically, generously, joyfully, what if we began to spend our assets on other people? Friends, what has God put in your hand? Time. Maybe you have lots of extra time these days. Expertise. Leadership skills. Capacity to phone and pray for others. Maybe you have money and finances. Maybe you are just a compassionate person. How can all of that be put to good use? Not someday, not when you're retired and have more time to think about it, but today, in these days, in a time of global urgency not seen since the time of our parents or even our grandparents. And friends, as I've been reading the news and thinking about it these days, I think that COVID-19 has not yet fully been unleashed on the developing world, places like India and Syria and Sudan. It could be that our open-handed posture may have to go beyond just being generous to the people on our block, our province, or our country, but to other countries that we have not yet seen what this will do. We're going to see very soon. In the end, friends, it's going to be okay for us. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees it. What Jesus has said to us is true. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. I think this day, these times, March, April, May 2020, is a time to live like we believe those words, maybe like we've never lived before. I'm sure you have lots of creative ideas that you're going to use your assets, but I've asked Mike to come and share at least one way you can get involved in practicing what I'm preaching. In the past 9 days, Mike has worked super hard on our behalf to launch something we're calling the Community Ambassador Initiative. And I'm really excited for you to learn more about it. So Mike, why don't you come and share how we can serve the world in Jesus' name in these days?